The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
footy, footy,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
footy, footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, everybody, it's JC.
And Wonger.
So we've had the great fortune over the past few years to interview some of Canada men's national team's incredible players.
And we've been so fortunate and honored to have them on our podcast that we wanted to share some of these amazing interviews with you, or worth saying they're amazing. So any new listeners, this might be your first introduction to our interview section. And anyone who is joining us for and are longtime listeners, feel free to dig back in to some of our old crates and our interviews, because we're going to be sharing them throughout the World Cup as far as Canada goes, because we want you to know these people deeper and cheer a little louder because you think you know them a little better.
And these will all be brought to you by BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada. And our good friends at Tim Hortons. This is your World Cup Watch Canada.
Brought to you by Tim Hortons. It's game on with Tim's. Now to the interview.
Here we go.
We are rolling. There we are. We're rolling now. Forgive me, my freaking dogs.
Your dags.
Just cough. They're kicking off right now, as always, just as we start the freaking interview.
This is how professional we are, Kyle, just so you know.
Hey, isn't it? It's a bonus edition. We have the man tied for Canada's all-time goal-scoring record, which we'll get to. We'll also get to that goal last week against Valladolid, where he harnessed his inner Zinedine Zidane. But I want to start our chat with Kyle Larin today, asking just why, with a life so full and so exciting, Kyle, why do you feel the need to start a podcast and take away from our listeners and our viewers? You know, like you got it all, man. You're a professional footballer in Spain. Right, we have nothing. All we have is this podcast. And you started this Striker's Corner with Jonathan David. And it's really good, by the way.
Yeah.
Why, man? Why go down that route?
No, I think it was, I don't know. I just think it came about just me and Jonathan are quiet guys. We don't really speak, but we play together and we have a good relationship. And normally when you have two strikers in a team, we're competing for a spot, you know, but we were really good friends and off the pitch, on the pitch and we're just quiet. And then I guess when the podcast, like, I don't know, we're comfortable sharing our insights on things and speaking about things. I think, I don't know, it just works for me and him, and he enjoys it. I enjoy it. And that's where we express ourselves. And a lot of people don't know a lot about me or a lot about him. Obviously he's doing well and he's doing big things. So, I guess it's a platform for me and him to express ourselves more.
Are you going to record one over this window at some point?
I don't think so.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Good.
You guys got it all this time.
do you find your chemistry in the studio, but you know, in the room with the mics is similar as it is on the pitch, on the field, you know? Or are you playing off each other? Big man, little man, you're both pretty big actually. It doesn't really work that way. But you know what I'm saying? Is it similar?
Yeah, I think it's similar. I think it just works, and the more we do the podcast, the more it gets better. And same thing on the pitch. The more we play together, the more we get better. And I know where he's going to be on the pitch, and I guess he knows the right questions to ask. And we just feed off each other in the podcast, because at some points it's free flowing. It's not like scripted. We just keep going, and I think it's the same thing on the pitch.
What's the best part about playing with him?
Yeah. The best part, like on the podcast, he's very smart, very smart player. He knows what to ask, knows what to do. Like same thing in the game. He knows where to be on the pitch, knows what positions to be, where to move in the open space. So I think that's the best thing, me playing with him. And, wherever I'm, where he needs to be, I will be right beside him on the pitch. And then we're just not, we're not in the same area, like crowding our, each other's space, you know? So it's, a, it's mm-hmm. good. Or if he scores, I score, like we're happy for each other. It's not like, like we're competing against each other. I know.
Well, I think he is. He's going to be catching you soon on you that.
I know he was going to get there eventually. It's not.
I'm waiting for you to have a tussle with a penalty or something. You guys fighting for the ball.
To be honest, we don't fight. Awesome. It depends on the moment. Sometimes, I mean, I took penalties before, and he's taken some penalties. It's never been a fight to take a penalty.
Do you think you Canadians have a different kind of bond? You know, the European-based Canadians, Craig and Jimmy Brennan, our other podcaster, he's not on right now. They talk about it when they played in Europe, you know, a long time ago now. But how, you know, every now and again, they get together with their, you know, compatriots in Canada. And you have that kind of connection. It's a little bit different. It's not a footballing nation per se just yet. So, you know, you're almost literally a foreign land, but playing almost a foreign sport.
Yeah, because I think, I guess we know what, on the outside in Europe, and we're Canadians there, and then not a lot of people, when we say we're going back to our national team, I mean, now it's better. When I used to play, and I would say I'm going to my national team, they really didn't know who we were or who we were playing, and it's a bit different now. So I think we always look after each other, and the Canadian guys in Europe, and always follow each other and want each other to do well.
Has that changed? Then it's a good point, because I mean, without using the word insignificant, it's a bit unfair, you know, but for a long time, Canada felt insignificant on the world stage. And then suddenly you had that qualifying campaign. You qualify for the World Cup. And then, you know, Jesse comes in and you have this Copa America that no one saw coming. Maybe you guys did, but no one saw it coming. Do you notice there's a different outlook on you and Canadians around Europe now? You say you are from this country?
Yes, for sure. I think even going back to my club being another club, or another guy saying to us, and a lot of countries want to play us because the quality we have, and we've been doing well, and you see different guys playing on big teams in Europe, and in League One, in Spain and Germany. So I think it's just growing. It's growing, and we're being noticed on the world stage, and the more we do better, the more we're noticed.
I was wondering, Kyle, the travel that you've been sustaining lately, coming back and forth for the international breaks, how are you getting over your jet lag? How do you approach that so that you're always kind of together on the pitch? Are you sleeping more? Do you like, how do you approach coming in? Because right now it's 11, 12 o'clock where you, what time is it? Like 7, 5, 6 hours difference, right?
Yeah. So it's almost 12.
Yeah. How do you approach it?
The first few days are difficult. I think the plane ride over is important to get to adjust, try to adjust then, and try to get some sleep on the plane. But for sure, the first few days are difficult. It's early. It's early night. It's probably like 8:30 p.m. Maybe before 8 o'clock.
Are you getting sleepy around 8? Should we come tuck you in tonight? Craig, we'll send over our 6'6" forward goalkeeper to tuck you in.
the first 2-3 days are difficult, but coming back to Canada is a bit easier. I mean, but when you go back to Europe after a couple of days, 10 days, it's also hard to get back in the time zone over there. But no, 2-3 days you can adjust easy and just take care of your body. It's an important part to be able to play.
And you're not flying coach anymore, right? Like in the old days.
No.
With all the scum like myself, you know.
But wait a second. You see how Kyle said it though? Because Craig was just talking to my daughter about flying to Australia coach. And when they're trying to qualify for the World Cup against Australia. And I doubt Kyle has to go through that anymore. Craig, you could retell that story fairly easily to Kyle, couldn't you?
Yeah. Took a sleeping pill, basically, and slept for 11 hours in a plucked up chicken position. I felt like what a dollar when I got to Australia. I had to peel myself out of my seat and play a game against Australia. Fucking hell. Thank
yeah, times
God
have changed, right? Yeah. Yeah, they take care of you now a little bit more, thankfully.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
So we had Alistair Johnston on the show last window, and actually it went viral because the Celtic Nation got hold of it, right? And I think we had like 40 or 50,000 views, which for us is quite a big deal, to say the very least. But he was talking about Canada, this new Canada. And how the phrase uses it, that the whole fuck it, we're Canada. Yeah. And that kind of mindset change. How have you experienced that? Because during the World Cup qualification, the term brotherhood was used a lot, right? You guys came together, you were close. But it seems to evolve since then, even so in under Jesse Marsh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jesse's brought a lot to get. I think the talent we have and the individual talent, I think he's brought out another side where we're able to just like go out there and say fuck it, like go out there and just perform and play well and bring the intensity and bring the best out of the guys. And I think you've been seeing that throughout these tournaments, and I think it, as a team we've come together stronger and better, and you see it in the last few games from Copa America to Mexico and USA, and I think it's just getting better and better, and every time we step on that pitch, to be honest, we don't think we're underdogs when we play against any team now. So we go out there and we perform and want to become better each game.
And that confidence, Kyle, is that coming from all this string of very good results over the last few years to be able to play an aggressive, confident, let's go at them, test them no matter who it is?
No, I think it's because we know who we are, I think, and we know who we have, and it's not like the other team is miles better than us in talent wise. I think, and physically wise, I think we're right there with all the teams in the world. But I think we know what we have and know what we can do, and we play to our strengths, and you can see it in the games, and we create opportunities, we defend well, and I think it just will get better from here.
It seems that you're also warming up right now, personally. You know, you played, you know, well for Mallorca. You're getting good minutes there. That goal against Valladolid was just, I mean, if you can talk us through it, it was one of those goals we're going to see all year long. That touch, I mean, that is not something that, I mean, I'm sure even in training, it doesn't come off that often.
No. I think the next 2 days or something, the ball came like that in training and I missed that shit. It wasn't the same exact play, but the ball came over the top and I was in. It was like that, but I think I've just been working on my positioning in the game, and that and once I've been telling the players to just watch my movement, and once I saw my teammate look open up with the ball and turn, and I checked in and went behind the defense, and once I looked and I saw the keeper didn't come out to get the ball. Because at first I thought he was going to come and get it, and I took a quick peek, and once I saw he didn't come, and to be honest, I didn't think I can get it. I actually hurt my hamstring a bit when I stretched for the ball.
Keep that quiet.
If you watch, I was like going to the doctor, said I think I overstretched, but it was okay after that. But to be honest, I watch it back and I see the touch and the goal, and I think it's been just building off the last few games I've been playing, and I got an assist the game before that. I had a goal, offside goal. I don't know if it was offside. Right. I said my toe was offside, but no. But I think I was just—I was in a rhythm and I was feeling good. And then when you're playing well and feeling good, your qualities start coming out, and then your instinct starts taking over. And that touch was just an instinct. And I think it's the only way I could finish. If I let it bounce, then the keeper grabs it. So,
but yeah. Hey, Kyle, I was going to ask you about. you know, you played in the United States, you played in Belgium, you played in Turkey, you're in Spain. What do you find? What are the nuances in the, between those leagues? What are the challenges you face in Spain that maybe you didn't face in Turkey or Belgium?
I think the quality of the players are from the first from the top to the top for the top 15 teams is quality everywhere and very tactical, very smart guys playing on the pitch. I mean, sometimes they don't look like they're football players, but their feet are very good. They move the ball and very smart players. I think that's a big difference that I've noticed playing in the La Liga.
What is life like in Mallorca for you right now? I mean, is it comparable to Brampton?
No.
No?
Not even close. It's nice. I mean, it's always, most of the time it's sunny. It rains sometimes during a certain period, but I mean, it's for family and kids, it's very nice. Very nice place to live. It's relaxed, and so after training or after a game, it's to relax in Mallorca. It's nice.
It is weird that the late games, late dinners, you know, everything's later there, right? It seems far more civilized.
Yeah. I mean, they have a siesta. When you take a nap during the day, so I guess the dinner goes. You push the dinner later to like 9, 10 p.m.
I want that siesta. I could do that siesta. That'd be
anyway. It
really could be.
No matter where you are,
Kyle. The last match you guys played as a friendly, the national team, was against Mexico, and against I think one of your former coaches. Correct?
Yeah.
And he was jumping up and down on the sideline.
Yeah.
Was he like that when he was your coach too? And second question. That was a bit of a messy game. How do you approach one of those games knowing that the Mexicans were going to come in pretty unadulteredly aggressive? Like they weren't holding back in any of their tackles. How does your team now say, hey, these guys are out for a little bit of they're playing for their lives, their roster lives?
Yeah, that was my coach in Mallorca last year, Javier Aguirre. That's how he is. That's the way he is on the sideline. That's how he is with Mallorca. And a lot of screaming, a lot of the arms, a lot of shouting at the opposing players. And I told the guy on the team, he's going to shout at you. He's going to say things to you. Just block it out and move on, or say something back. He likes that. He likes the confrontation. So,
Did you have anything going back and forth with him? Did he give you a scream?
No. I didn't pay him any mind. Actually.
Okay. Good.
we knew with the Mexicans how they were gonna come in the game, and I think they did that. I think they did that because that's the only way they can beat us. I think they couldn't beat us playing on the with the ball on the pitch. So I think that was the only way they could beat us that game. And I think we were ready for it. And against Mexico or USA, we're always ready to fight each game and go into a battle. Sometimes it won't be pretty, but I think that's what we've changed a lot about our game. It won't be pretty sometimes, but I know the results matter in the international stage. So I think that was a big part.
One more from me. I know we've got some rapid fires coming up very shortly, but last question for me is Jesse Marsh, obviously at the helm now. How is a camp under Jesse Marsh different to a camp under John Herdman? Is it dramatically different?
Yeah, I think it's not dramatically, but it's a little different. Obviously, you have different coaching styles, way of training, and just training is very intense. The guys are very focused in the training, and then. I think John Herbert had a lot of meetings, and then more than usual. But I think Jesse's very relaxed, relaxed guy, and outside of off the pitch, and allows us to be ourselves. But once we get on the pitch, it's business, and we know we have a job to do, and to get to get better each and every training session and each game and to build off that.
All right, well, I'm going to take it away.
All right, so we're playing, just so everyone knows, we're playing Get to Know Me with Footy Prime with Kyle Larin. So, Kyle, these are 9 quick questions. Don't think about them too much. No. Just all about you. Favorite soccer player growing up?
Didier Drogba.
Drogba. Go-to karaoke song?
I don't really do
karaoke. Come on, you're hurting me. Movie you've watched over and over?
Inception.
Oh, good one. Most memorable goal you've scored?
Against Valladolid.
We just talked about it. Go backwards. If not soccer, what sport would you be playing professionally?
Basketball.
What player do you hate playing against for any reason?
DePaul.
What's
no kidding? You're a prick.
He's good at it.
Yeah. What's playing in your headphones right now?
Right now, Boss Man D-Lo. I don't know.
We're gonna have to I know Boss Man D-Lo.
That's middle age, too. Yeah.
Big fan.
If you can't cheer for Canada, what country do you cheer for in the World Cup?
I don't know if Jamaica would be there, but I'll do Jamaica. I'm Jamaican too, so.
And what's your go-to junk food?
Cereal count as junk food?
Yeah, now it does. Now that we know, is it like a sugar cereal? Is it like one of those ones?
Yeah.
Fruit Loops? Which one is it?
Honeycomb. I would do honeycomb.
Yes.
I thought you might. I thought you might slip in an Osmos reference there, but that's Osmos. Not. That is not okay. Junk food. Kyle, listen, mate. Thanks so much for this. We all enjoyed this. And listen, good luck on Tuesday, and for the rest of the season at Mallorca. We watch you every week, and it's been a great start to the campaign for your club.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I can confirm we are recording.
You can confirm? Can anyone else confirm we're recording?
I can confirm it.
Wonga, can you confirm it?
Confirmed.
Craig, are you able to confirm that we are recording?
I believe so.
Okay, good. We are recording. Good. It's Footy Prime and it's Tuesday. And in about 8 minutes, we have a guest, a Canadian international footballer, one with a bright future. Luc de Fougerol. And that will be the best way I've pronounced his name probably since I've...
Ever.
Pretty good.
Luc
Pretty good.
De Fougerol.
Mm-hmm. So good.
It isn't that difficult, actually.
No.
No.
Right?
Once you get it, we're going to ask him.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like muscle memory in the mouth, kind of. Why are you laughing, Dubs?
I don't know, but I can confirm that you pronounced that correctly.
Mm. Okay. You know what it means? It means that when we actually welcome Luke onto the show, I'm going to make a right old hash of it.
It's a very lyrical name, though, right? It's a great, it's a good name.
It's a nice name.
Yeah. That Fougerol rolls off the tongue.
That's excellent.
Oh, Luke, at you.
If Luke wasn't a footballer,
looky here, Jimmy. Let's be serious for a second.
If he wasn't a footballer, he'd be a philosopher, right? De Fougerol is a philosopher's name, or a poet,
or makes maybe? Pastry.
Yeah.
Well, I think his nickname at Fulham in the academy was Figgy, wasn't it? Figgy Rolls, Fig Rolls.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, it's an English thing, right? Fig rolls is an English pastry type thing.
What is that?
Not my cup of tea.
With figs?
Yeah.
And they roll it?
Let's find out. This is how you start a football podcast.
Well,
yeah, fig roll is...
That's how I learned what a spotted dick was. I didn't know what that was. You guys introduced me.
Yeah, but you found that out in the hospital.
Yes. I'm pretty sure you were
It was the change room. There was a hall right around here.
Not the food.
Well, the fig roll is the what prompted the Fig Newton.
That's right.
So the Fig Newton cookie is a smaller, compact, a portable version of the Fig roll.
Hmm. Why is it called Newton?
Because it falls.
Oh, right. The gravity and all that.
Right. Oh, it's really so bad.
Isaac.
Sorry.
So Isaac. Well, Isaac Newton. You know, he's not a scientist, but he's a philosopher and a footballer. Either way, if your last name is de Fijerol, you're probably going to be successful with something. Right? Mm-hmm. You're probably not going to be a podcaster.
No.
You're probably doing well with, well, life's treating you well if your last name is de Fijerol. But yeah, we'll have Luke on very soon. I want to get your thoughts, by the way. FIFA have announced this will be the last October window, as is. They're going to merge October and November windows moving forward. So teams will play as many as four games in an extended window, which I kind of like because I'm sick and tired of this breaking up, you know, the club season. You come back for a couple of games, you're then off again. We all complain about it all the time, us non-playing people. As a footballer, Dubs, as a former footballer, that's a long time away from your club still, early in this season. Do you like it?
I think I do like it because I think it would be harder to establish yourself and get your rhythm in club and then also with the national team. Like, I think like the way that Jesse Marsh has taken a look at this fall, which is obviously unique as it's leading into a World Cup year, but he's talked about the three fall windows as almost merging into one, or like the way that he's looking at the roster, the way that he's looking at his selections. So if you already next year, once that 2026 FIFA calendar is released and is kicked off, you've already merged two of those three together. I think that makes more sense from a national team selectioner and manager perspective. For the player, I also think that it simplifies things. It maybe gives you less opportunities to get in for a player who's looking to crack that mm-hmm. roster. But the rhythm of the thing, getting up to four matches in that condensed window, I think gives you more time within the camp to build partnerships, to really gain an understanding of the way that you want to play, get valuable playing time, and really just kind of get the dressing room dynamics. I think it'll go a long way, I think, for both. I mean, that's obviously the upside, the positives. I'm sure there's drawbacks that we'll hear from Jimmy and Forrest, but at least to me, from the outside looking in, just first off that this was announced, I think it's a good thing.
I do too. And I think if you're doing well at club level, you have no problem with it. If you're struggling and your manager's all over you and then you're going away for that length of time, it could be problematic. But no, I like it. I like them merging them together. I think it's a better idea because of the travel and whatnot that is part of those windows. It's very difficult to get yourself back in rhythm. And then a month later, you're back again. So I think it makes sense.
What's going on at training when it's an international break, but obviously a bunch of players aren't there? There are some clubs who have no call-ups, right? But what's happening at training? Is it kind of a bit of a country club feel? You guys are generally picked by your country, so maybe you don't even know the answer to this because you weren't there.
Are you at the top of the table or bottom of the table?
Oh, okay.
Makes a big difference.
Right? Yeah.
Because if things are going well, lads, take a couple of days off. If you're losing, everybody's in working. And so when you get called on international, it's like, yes, get me to the airport because these guys are going to be running and working.
Sometimes we were there, but most of the time we were called up. So if we were there, it was because the national team was in hiatus for a year or two.
Right.
Didn't have the money to put camps together.
Well, how was it for you, Craig? You come from, you know, top flight football. Even in those days, pretty nice training facilities. You're treated really well. And then you went to Canada. And we've been over the whole kit stuff and the flights and all that. But the actual training facilities themselves, obviously, there wasn't a Canadian facility per se, right? You're obviously training at clubs. But was it a big adjustment for you?
That's a good question. The training facilities weren't exactly brilliant. I remember training all over the place and parks, and they weren't ideal, that's for sure.
Hey, Colin Miller
actually twisted his ankle. I think he was like 5 yards into the warm up and he rolled his ankle on a pothole.
That was Zauza did the same before the Confederation Cup. Remember all the European guys? We flew into Vancouver. We were there for like 6 days before the rest of the guys came, and we trained in some park in Vancouver. There were dogs running around. There was just got potholes everywhere, and Dave Zauza ended up rolling his ankle day two of training.
Did you dodge dog shit and stuff like while you're training at this park? Was it a dog shit?
Sure.
Usually it was goose shit out Burnaby.
Yeah, but goose shit's got a different composition.
It's true. Less stigma, too.
Yes.
No one needs to slide through it.
Let's find out, shall we, how it is nowadays. You guys are like well past here. You're your best. You know, your has-beens. Let's go to someone that's right now in the mix of Canadian national football. Luke de Fougerol joins us. Luke, welcome to Footy Prime. Any goose shit, dog shit, or potholes in the training facilities?
Not that I saw, but I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
you're welcome.
You're dog shit. Exactly.
So we were just talking about your name, de Fougerol. Either you're going to be a footballer or a philosopher.
Or a baker,
see, Amy's from Montreal, right? Okay. She's got that beautiful, she can fake this beautiful French accent. So Dubs, mm-hmm. how would you pronounce Luke's name?
Luc de Fougerol.
I actually can't say that word as well, which is
fine. I was going to ask you though, because it's your dad, he was born in Montreal, correct?
My dad is, yeah, born in Montreal. He's actually coming out to Montreal to see me play and link up with a few friends as well, so... Yeah, it's good to be back. I think I was here last year for a short time, and then I got injured, so I had to leave. So hopefully this camp can be a bit longer and a bit better than last year, which ended quite badly.
Well, before we get into the football, just so everybody knows, does anybody in your life call you Luke, or are you just Luke?
Just Luke.
Okay.
There's nobody in England going to go, Luke.
Yeah. Luke.
Yeah. There's a few like Lux in England, because obviously Luke in England is L-U-K-E. So it's like, why is it L-U-C? But... No, when I go anywhere else apart from England, it's just Luke. So, yeah.
How are you in your Flemish these days? Have you learned some Flemish?
No, I've learned zero. I've been taking French lessons, though, because I actually don't speak French. So instead of going for the Flemish route, I've kind of gone French, which is, I'd say half the team speaks French, half speaks Flemish, but everyone speaks English. So it's actually really easy. But I thought with all the spare time I've got, I might as well do something useful. So, yeah, I'm trying to learn French. Practicing my cooking as well, so I'm actually been quite productive in the first few months out there.
What was your favorite dish when you cook?
What's the best thing I cooked, did you say?
Yeah.
Salmon. I cook that at least 2 times a week. It's kind of like I have the same menu every week, and it's just I just rotate it like between the days, and like I get by. So yeah, it does the job.
Yeah, it works for you. I mean, nowadays, obviously, it's changed from many years ago, obviously, but you're young players. Are you taught by your clubs and the academies at Fulham or wherever you were to cook, how to cook, how to eat properly, nutrition, that type of stuff?
There's a lot of nutrition at Fulham, to be fair. Cooking wise, not really. We kind of get at Fulham, everything was kind of given to us, you know, like we had the to us lunch given to us, and then obviously at dinner when you were younger, your parents would cook it, or you'd, I don't know, get something out or something like that. So cooking wise, not really. So I'm kind of on my own there, but I did it at school, so I've got like but yeah, it's a work in progress, definitely. Yeah,
is it still called home economics in England? Is that what it's still called?
It's called food and nutrition in my school, at least. I don't know what like the. I've never heard of home economics. Maybe that's a bit before my time.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was 40 years ago, or 35 years ago. So yeah, probably. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate that one. All right, so you're at Dender in Belgium on loan. Now, we've spoken on this podcast a lot about going out on loan. You know, Jimmy and Craig did it, and overseas in England, actually. Mm-hmm. Is it a weird thing to kind of, you're at Fulham in the academy for a long time, you knew that club, and then to move to a new, not just a new club, but a new country as well on loan. What's it like?
Yeah, it was definitely like the first one. It was like a leap of faith. Like I was kind of changing clubs for the first time in my life. Going to a new country where I obviously didn't speak the language as good, but it's actually been easier than expected, to be honest with you. Obviously I had no idea what to expect. I've been at Fulham since I was 7. It's been pretty like, I've kind of just rose up the ranks, known the same coaches, known the same people. Obviously going to the first team is a bit different, but you're kind of an academy player. You're from there. It's kind of not a new environment as much, but yeah, just completely moving away from home to a different country, different language. The first few weeks were tough when you kind of don't know anyone, but it's nice. Obviously, there's a few Canadians, Toby, Nathan, Crazy Poker as well. So in the first few weeks, I saw them, those guys, which was nice kind of off the pitch to kind of see people. My parents came over with me to get me settled in, because otherwise I would have been in big trouble doing all that. Because I went into a house with nothing in it as well. There was no furniture, no nothing. So it was like so much to do. So yeah, it was a busy first few weeks, but I think I've settled in well. My teammates are all really nice guys. They all speak English as well, so that obviously helps. If I didn't communicate with them, that would be even harder on and off the pitch. So yeah, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. I don't know if you've seen it. It's been quite tough on the pitch, but I think I've learned it. And the team will get better, and I think it will end up being good.
And you're getting minutes. That's the biggest thing right now. But can you tell us how big a jump it is from the academy? I know you got some minutes with Fulham in the cups, but going from the academy football, age grade football, to, you know, men's football in Belgium, you know, a top quality league, obviously, how big a jump has that been physically?
Yeah, I think you said physically is the main thing, because obviously at these Premier League academy, you have some on the ball amazing players, but you're obviously playing against people your age, maybe a bit older, but like nothing crazy, and then suddenly you're playing against 30, 35, like strikers who've kind of been there, done that, like through leagues and kind of experienced, like in their stuff, their movement in the box just sharper. So that's definitely tough. I think the minutes I got with Canada in kind of the Gold Cup and previously really helped me, because it's kind of, you can't really compare academy football and men's football. So if I had gone into Belgium having no experience whatsoever, I think it would have been definitely a bigger shock to me. But having been at the Gold Cup, played some games, been at the friendlies, and obviously international football is the best stage in the world, so I think having experienced that, it made it easier. It definitely didn't make it easy, because it still was going to a good league and against good players. It was tough, and I think I'm adapting well, but yeah, it's a shock to the system, definitely.
How did it come about, Luke? Was it somebody in the club talked to you about a loan potential, and why Belgium?
How it came about, I'm not sure. I think it was after Ukraine. My agent, I wanted to go on loan, in the back of my mind at that point. And then my agent said, "Oh, how does Belgium sound?" I was like, "That would be amazing," because obviously I've known a few of the guys came through Belgium. It's good for young players, so I kind of thought I'll have a call with them, see what they say. Spoke to the manager, spoke to the sporting director. Really liked what they had to say, and then from there I was just kind of trying to get a deal done. I had to sign with Fulham first and then go out. So it took a bit longer than expected. But yeah, for me, I felt as soon as that league kind of came up, I was very, very set on going. And yeah, I think it's been a good decision.
You touched on it a little bit there when you're talking about adapting to the league in Belgium, but playing against fully formed professionals, like just shifting your mindset and your experience with the national team, getting yourself out of that comfort zone, testing yourself within that group of players, obviously, that you respect, but that you have to maybe raise your level because you're still only 19 years old. Was that really helpful to shift your mindset in the way that you approached this new contract and playing in Belgium?
Yeah, definitely. I think with the players I play in Canada to Belgium, is that where you're kind of...
Yeah, just like, I mean, you've got 9 appearances with Canada, 7 starts, and you've obviously impressed. But like joining that setup under Jesse and growing and just what you've shown over the course of those appearances, did that experience help you in the way that you approached this new setup in Belgium?
Yeah, 100%. I think also part of the reason I chose to go to Belgium is it's obviously a high-paced league, and kind of the chat I had with the manager and the sporting director was kind of similar to what Jesse wants as well, like quite high pressing, quick football. So obviously having been with Jesse, and it did take a bit of time to get used to. I think I was, obviously he came in last summer. It definitely took a while. It was a shock, like the way he plays. And for me also having not played any professional football when he came in and then kind of going to the training sessions, it was like very tough for me. And I think, like once I adapted, then I was kind of like, yeah, this suits my game. I like having the ball, and then I'm also quite a mobile centre back, so I don't mind playing a high line, don't mind stepping out into fullback positions quite a lot of the time when we're pressing. So yeah, it's kind of like the style of play that Jesse played really helped me to go to Belgium, which is a similar league. It's very, very like a lot of counter attacking football. Not many teams kind of play like slow possession and pass the ball around the back. So yeah, it kind of, it definitely helped me going into that.
Obviously, this past weekend, Moise Bembido breaks his tibia. Terrible news for Canada. Now, a couple of years ago now, that would be an even more devastating given that the depth just wasn't there. But we're seeing more depth now in that position, especially with yourself, who's really impressed in the last couple of windows. Where do you see your role with Canada? Because when Moyes gets healthy, you assume he'll get in there. And at the moment, you can see a Cornelius-Bombido partnership. You're a young player. You're proving yourself. You've got opportunities now, when especially Moyes being out for the next few months. Where is your role right now with Canada?
To be fair, I take each camp as it comes. I just love going away, whether that's starting, helping the team off the bench, or helping the team in training on the side. Whatever my role is, I'm very happy to do it. Obviously, the goal is to play, but that's not in my hands. I'm just going to give it 100% every time I play. And then, yeah, obviously, this camp is really devastating that Moyes can't be here. I obviously send my guards to him, and I send him a few messages. But yeah, I always like when he comes into camp, because obviously for me personally, as a young player, as you said, a player like him playing at the highest level in European competitions, I can also learn off him. We play similar positions, and yeah, he's kind of a role model for me. When I come into camp, he's kind of come through the system, and now he's a top centre back, and I try to take bits of his game and ask questions from him and try and learn and improve. So yeah, obviously it's a big shame he's not here, and hopefully in a few months, I think it's going to be, I can get back with him and I can continue learning off him.
But you and Derek obviously have a pretty good relationship out there as well. It's been proven so far. How is it playing beside Derek, a pretty experienced player now?
He's played in a lot of leagues now. It's really nice playing with Derek. I think previous to this, I obviously hadn't played with him at all. I'd trained with him a few times, and yeah, he's top on the ball, very good in the air. There's not many faults in his game, to be honest. So yeah, he always helps me. He's a very vocal guy. As you said, he's older than me, so he's always talking to you in the game. Any vocal player, he'll come speak to me and say, you need to do this, this, and this. So yeah, for me as a young player, it's amazing that he gives me this support. And I think together we complement each other as well. So yeah, I really like playing with him.
Prior to you being called into the national team, had you spent any significant time in Canada? And then further to that, what has it been like getting to know Canada and different cities via these camps and the communities that are there when you guys, Jesse and Canada Soccer have made a concerted effort to reach out when you guys are in certain places. What has it been like getting to know Canada through that lens?
Yeah, to be fair, as you can probably tell by the accent, I've lived in England my whole life. But growing up, I had a lot of family in Canada. So, yeah, a lot of summers were spent in Montreal, really, to be honest with you. I didn't really go outside Montreal because obviously it's not close from England and everything in Canada is pretty far away. So if you're going to go for a few weeks, it was usually go to see where my dad grew up, see his family. And then, yeah, now seeing all the places, I think I've been to Halifax now, Toronto, obviously, many times. Vancouver, the first time in Gold Cup, and yeah, it's amazing. It's definitely, I think I want to live here when I finish football. Definitely, it's amazing. The weather's nice in England. People are really nice. So yeah, I really love it here, and all the guys are amazing as well. They're very friendly people.
How's your national anthem? Do you know it all right now? Do you have it down?
Yeah, of course.
in French too? Do you have the bilingual going?
No, actually, I didn't even know there was two versions. I know the English one. I remember I was standing beside, I think, Kone for my first game, and I hear him singing different words to me. And I asked my dad after the game, he was like, yeah, there's two versions. I was like, okay, I'll stick to the English one. So maybe my French gets better from the lessons. Maybe I can branch out and mix the two together. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Luke, do you have who's your big brother on the team, on the national team, who kind of took you under their wing?
For my first camp or just in general?
Just in general. Like, who do you eat with? Who do you hang with?
I think we eat as a big group. I would say definitely in my early days in the camp and like coming now, Liam Miller, he was my roommate. He is my roommate now. It was the first one. Obviously, he played at Fulham as well. So he had kind of an instant connection with him. He used to always talk to him about the ex-players at Fulham, the coach at Fulham that's still there. And we used to talk about that. And then, yeah, I've kind of grown close with him. Obviously, he's not been here for a while, which is obviously a big shame. So, yeah, I'm so happy to see him back. And the whole team is so happy to see him back. He's such a big personality in the in the team. And yeah, he's obviously a great player as well, as we all know. So yeah, very happy to have him back.
When you were growing up in London and you're playing in that area, there's so many clubs that are after youth players. How was it? How did it come about where you actually ended up at Fulham? Because obviously there's, I don't know, you could throw a rock every direction and you got clubs.
Yeah, I remember, I think it was like, I must have been a good player because I was like at Chelsea. When
I guess.
I was kind of going through, I think I was 5 years old or something. I don't know how these clubs can kind of see if a 5 year old is good. I remember I was at Chelsea and then I went to Fulham. And then after I told my mum wasn't so keen either. She kind of didn't really want me to do it. And also I was five. I kind of just wanted to play. I was in a nice club near my house, like a local team. So I wanted to just continue playing there. Obviously it's a big commitment starting somewhere 4 times a week. So I kind of made a decision. So I don't want to play here. Like I want to just stay at my club. And then Fulham came back and some other teams came back when I was seven. And then my dad was like, yeah, we should give it another go. So I was kind of like, fine, like I'll do it. I remember not actually wanting to do it. I was kind of just happy like playing on my team. And then I went, really enjoyed it, and then got offered a contract basically straight away. And then it took my mom some convincing, but in the end she agreed. And yeah, I started there, and it's been the best decision I've made, to be honest with you. I think Fulham was the perfect pick. It's obviously a lot, as you said, a lot of clubs around me, Crystal Palace, Chelsea, but Fulham was definitely the right choice. Like, it's a nice family club. Like, they treat the young players well. They don't have too many academy players. I know Chelsea, they kind of bring in so many players from such a young age and then kind of pick out the best. They don't play them all. They pick out the best ones. And at Fulham, it was kind of a smaller group, more tight-knit. And we all got a lot of play time, which is what you need at that age, to be honest with you. And yeah, it's been really good. And obviously, I was happy to sign another 4 years in summer, which is kind of what I wanted to do. And the aim is to play for the first team now.
I think it's still my favorite stadium actually in England, is Craven Cottage. Just it's great, amazing, it's intimate, it's small, you know, walking along the Thames to get there. I mean, you wouldn't be doing that because you're playing, but fans, it was pretty great. I loved it.
I've had a fair few walks through the park and into the stadium, and my family still go every week now. So yeah, they love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. We have a segment here for all first timers, a little rapid fire session. Dan Wong there beside you will reel out some questions and just quick response, rapid fire, and then we'll wrap it up.
Sounds good. Okay. Is it like a
here
quiz?
We go, Luke.
Do I need to get them right, or is it just like?
No, they're all about you.
No pressure.
Well, actually, there is a question about our Footy Prime people too, so you'll see. Luc de Fougeral, here you're playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime. Do you have a nickname?
Fuji.
What's playing in your earphones music-wise right now?
Well, this set, just in general.
In general.
In general. I would say some like 2010s pop, hip-hop sort of thing.
Any artists that you can name?
Any artists that I can name? I would say, can I look quickly?
Sure.
We want to get to know you. Sure, go ahead.
Here's one. I would say Neo. Not before the game, but just as a chill kind of, after game maybe.
Right. Favorite junk food?
Probably Indian, to be fair.
Yes.
This is the problem with athletes, right? Indian food is a junk food.
I would say you wouldn't eat it before the game, so maybe that's kind of junk food, but yeah, it's not terrible.
If you weren't playing football, what sport would you be playing professionally?
I think recently paddle is one that I really enjoy. Mm. So paddle.
What was your favorite club growing up?
Fulham.
You get to meet your sports hero. Who was it and why?
It was Eden Hazard. A bit of a weird one for my position, but no, it's the first shirt I got. Just because when I was younger, I used to just love dribbling. You can kind of see it a bit in my game still, but I used to just play midfield and just love to dribble. And growing up, he was someone who was amazing with the ball at his feet. So yeah, I used to always love watching him. So I would say him.
You have a week off. Where are you vacationing?
I think now it's London, to be honest. But before, yeah, Montreal. I love it here.
Awesome. What year did Craig Forrest and Jimmy Brennan win the Gold Cup for Canada?
2000.
Yes.
Hey. Bougie.
And you've already answered this, and it's, are you speaking Flemish, French, or English when you're out and about?
English, definitely.
Luke, thanks for playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime.
Thank you very much.
I'm just stunned that a Fulham product is a fan of a Chelsea player.
I know, that's a bit of a, but I feel like when you're that young, you can kind of get away with it, you know?
And also, I guess you were young, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like my dad passed the Fulham fan on to me, you know, because it was kind of, I passed it on to him. So it was kind of like, I was at a stage where I wasn't sure where my allegiances lie. And then obviously it's changed over time. So yeah.
Was your dad a football fan?
He says he was, but he was more of an ice hockey man, to be honest with you. And I've seen him play many times, and he definitely didn't play football when he was younger. But he said he did, but I'm not sure.
So is he a Habs man?
He's a Montreal Canadiens man.
Yeah, Habs.
Oh, is that Habs?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to say Habs, Fuji.
The Habitons.
The Habitons, oui. He's a big Habs man.
Nice. We'll forgive him that. That's good. Yeah. Luke, listen, mate, thanks so much. Really enjoyed this. And good luck in the upcoming week or so and moving forward at Dender.
Thank you very much, guys. That was fun. Goodbye.
Anytime.
Very formal.
Or what's going to happen here?
We can.
Oh, he's going to kick you off.
We'll kick you out. Yeah. See you, Luke. Thanks, y'all. Cheers. That's great. I really enjoyed that. Another personality on Canada, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's great. Great to see
you. I called Fuji, by the way, before the interview.
You did? So,
yeah.
Well done. Merchant of tennis.
Nickname whisperer, JC.
Yeah. / Baby J.
Yeah. What a good guy. What a good guy. Man, oh, man.
Great guy.
Six for 19? 19?
19,
I don't know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
I was such a dickhead at 19.